In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I did just spend a few days in the Deep South, a place I'm very familiar with since I spent many years in the Navy living in the South and then as a priest. And if you live in the South, you're going to become very, if you're Orthodox at least, you'll become very familiar with Matthew 23:9. Before I tell you what it is, does anybody know what Matthew 23:9 is? It gets put in the face of every Orthodox and Roman Catholic, for that matter. There's your clue. Matthew 23:9 says, call no man your father. And then we have to go around and explain what that really means, and don't abuse titles, and blah, blah, blah. We have to explain that. But if you're into proof texts, this morning's epistle reading has the proof text that counters Matthew 23:9. For those of you who don't know what proof texts are, you've just never lived in the South. But that's, we use the Bible to prove our point. So in this morning's gospel reading, we have 1 Corinthians 4:15, which is the answer to Matthew 23:9. It's what? It's, I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And even though St. Paul is not using the word father in that sentence, the sentence before he does say, you do not have many fathers. So the implication is very clear. He considers himself to be the father of the Corinthian church. But this is not a sermon about proof texts. It is a sermon about the epistle reading, because what happens after St. Paul says, you do not have many fathers, I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel, he says this, I urge you then to be imitators of me. I urge you then to be imitators of me. And how horrible it is when we get in these biblical arguments and go back and forth with proof texts and we miss the whole point of a reading, which is what? To be imitators of St. Paul. That's what St. Paul is asking us to do, to be imitators of him. Now, how does one go about imitating St. Paul? That's a fair question. Well, first, you have to be somebody who's able to tell your story. Your story as a Christian. And St. Paul is very good at this. If you go to the book of Acts and go to chapter 26, you're going to read his defense, his explanation before King Agrippa, and he runs it all down. He talks about who he was, where he came from, what he used to do to Christians, how he got converted, what he's been doing since the conversion. He lays it all out. And that's a good thing that all of us should be able to do. All of us should be able to tell our story. Why are you a Christian? Why am I a Christian? Why am I a Christian at this point in my life? What does it mean to me? How did that change me? How is it changing me? And the reason we should be able to share that is because people are going to ask us at some point, oh yeah, you go to church there? Why? Why don't you just stay home and pray? Or why don't you go to the mountains and pray? Or why do you believe in anything? We should be able to answer that. And if we are imitators of St. Paul, then that's something that we should aspire to. If we're going to follow his example, then people should see a change in us. St. Paul says elsewhere, this is in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And people should see that in us. Now that's a tricky thing, because you can't act your way into being a Christian. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. You have to allow yourself to be open and vulnerable, which means people are going to see Christ in us, but they're going to see ugly things, because that's what it means to be real. But people need to see that Christ is at work in us. But again, you can't take a course in how to do that. You can't go in the mirror and practice looking Christian. It has to happen naturally, and it happens naturally through our prayer, through our communion, through our love for God, through our love for one another. St. Paul is somebody who's willing to admonish. And believe it or not, that's something we need to be able to do, but pay attention to how he does it. In the same epistle reading from this morning, he's chiding the Corinthians a bit. He says this, we are fools, talking about the apostles, we are fools for Christ's sake. But you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. And he's using a little bit of sarcasm, a little bit of sardonic irony on the Corinthians to get their attention. He could have been much more blunt, but he doesn't have to be. They get the point. Elsewhere in 1 Corinthians, he uses emotions to express his frustration or displeasure. He goes, I'm thankful that I baptized none of you except for Crispus and Gaius. I'm thankful I baptized none of you. That's what he's saying. And he's talking about how he feels. I'm glad I didn't baptize you guys. That's a harsh thing to say, but he could have said it much more harshly. But St. Paul is also somebody who's willing to pay a compliment. And that's very important. We can't pay enough compliments in life. And I'm rather frustrated at this point in my life, where I've lived long enough to see that people can be offended by compliments, especially if you're complimenting somebody who's the opposite sex. Somehow that's insulting. And I think that's weird, because we are supposed to pay compliments, obviously in the proper way. But to the Philippians, St. Paul says this, I thank God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy, thankful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He's complimenting the Philippians. So St. Paul can dish out some chiding when he needs to, but he knows how to dish out a compliment. But there is this price to pay if we're going to live as St. Paul did, if we're going to really let the gospel live in us. If we're going to be real Christians, that means that we have to be ourselves. And there's a price that comes with being yourself, because you're kind of like somebody walking on a tightrope, and sometimes you slip off the tightrope. St. Paul confesses this in Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Here is St. Paul, converted on the road to Damascus, the apostle to the Gentiles, the reason we could say, the reason that there is a church today for us right now. And yet he still struggles with his habitual sins. He still struggles and does the things that he hates, knowing that he shouldn't. This is the statement of an honest Christian. And when somebody says, oh, those Christians are all hypocrites, they pray and then they do bad things. People really don't understand what real Christianity is. God makes us well and heals us in his own time, in his own way. In fact, there's more to it than just our sins. It's this. In 2 Corinthians, St. Paul says, to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. So St. Paul had a chronic condition. Scholars argue about what that chronic condition may have been, but he had it. He had a chronic, painful condition that he said was there to keep him humble. And St. Paul even fought, at least a little bit. We know that from Acts chapter 15. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, come, let us return and visit the brethren in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. But Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp contention, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. So Paul and Barnabas parted ways in a disagreement. Imagine that. He's a saint, and yet he parts ways with his friend because of a disagreement. Now the goal of living this way is what? The goal of living this way is holiness. And holiness is one of those elusive things that you know it when you see it, maybe. But it's something that's different from each one of us. Again, I can't show you pictures of how to look holy. I could show you pictures of how to look unholy, of course, but holiness is something that grows inside of us when we decide to follow Jesus Christ. He makes us holy. I don't make myself holy so that I can follow Him. What would be the point of that? I could take Sunday mornings off and so could you. He makes us holy in His way. And we know that holiness is something we aspire to because, again, we have the words of St. Paul. This is 1 Thessalonians. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father. So that He may establish our hearts unblameable in holiness. It's God who makes us holy. And it is folly to look at somebody and go, that's a holy person, and that's an unholy person, because only God knows what's inside anybody's heart. And the truth of the matter is that each one of us sitting here today is holy in his or her own way, but each one of us, if we're living as real Christians, then you know what? We know that we have thorns in our flesh, and very often we do the things that we hate. And yes, we might even disagree with our brother Christians and sister Christians, but this is what it means to be a real Christian, not somebody who's putting on an act, not somebody who's playing at a role. So we began this morning by saying that the 1 Corinthians 4:15 is the antidote, if you will, to Matthew 23:9, call no man your father. But, you know, in many ways, this is an epistle reading about being a father. And I think the words that I've shared this morning are excellent rules for any earthly father to adhere to, whether it's a father of a house or somebody who serves in the role of a pastor. But they're really words for all of us, right? Because all of us are called to beget people in Christ. That's what the Greek says. All of us are called to help other people, live out their Christianity to help other people become Christian. That is our goal, so that they could look at us and say, that person in many ways is my father in Christ or my mother in Christ. They taught me, they showed me what it is to be a Christian. And how do you do it? Well, you have to be able to tell your story, how you became a Christian, why you're a Christian. You have to be able to let people see the change that's happening inside of us. The change when we allow Christ to live inside of us. Yes, we have to be willing to admonish deftly when necessary, but certainly pay compliments whenever possible. And we have to accept the fact that perfection is our goal, but it's unattainable in this life. We strive for it, but it's unattainable because we live in a fallen world. So instead of the goal of perfection, we have the vocation, the call to be holy, to be holy people. But remember that God makes you holy and He makes me holy in a way that He sees fit, in a time that He sees fit. Now there's a lot of scripture here, and perhaps more than one or two key character traits that identify the apostle to the Gentiles. But if you forget all of it, just remember this. Anybody who wants to become the parent of another in Christ need only do one thing. Become an imitator of St. Paul.